Good evening, I'm Rose Jordan. Welcome to another program in the Lesbian Radio Show series. Tonight my guests, Ruth Berman and Connie Kirch, will discuss self-pride and toward a more rewarding way of relating to others. Hi, it's Rose Jordan again with the Lesbian Radio Show. The music that you just heard was sung by Gloria Gaynor and is from La Cage aux Folles. It is called I Am What I Am, and that's what this program's all about. Ruth Berman is here with Connie Kurtz, and Ruth is a guidance counselor at a high school, and she also is in private practice. She believes that in order to attain an integrated personality, one must incorporate into their lives good nutrition and physical fitness. Connie Kurtz is a peer counselor and teaches the techniques of co-counseling. Hi there, both of you.
Hi.
There is a statement I'd like to make before we get into our discussion. I'm sure it's going to go in all different directions. Let's see here. Because of their awareness of their own selves as lesbians, Ruth and Connie claim that the answer is loving unconditionally in order to improve our lives. They work through their own homophobia and lack of self-esteem using many different approaches, mental, spiritual, and physical. They also create a written proposal they call The Importance of Being, or Is There Life After Coming Out? That last part sounds almost humorous. Is there life after coming out, Ruth, Connie? What does that mean exactly? I thought everybody was more dynamic after they came out. Is that what you mean by life?
By life, I mean experiencing the world, not just the world of our gay and lesbian world, but the world that I came from, a heterosexual world, that in my coming out, that's what it meant to me, to continue to have a relationship with the people and friends that I had before, and to be myself.
Isn't that a little difficult? Sometimes women have discussed coming out and the disastrous results they've obtained, giving information to friends and family, and they've been ostracized and thrown out of their houses, and all sorts of bad things happen. How can they avoid? I mean, you can't really avoid that reaction, can you? Or what do you do with it when someone reacts to you that way?
The only thing that I avoided was my own pain. And coming out to me, although very difficult, also manifested itself in a very physical way, my holding back my coming out. And it wasn't until I ended up in a hospital that I realized that it was very important to be me, whatever those risks were, that the other person's reaction to me wasn't as important as my own body's reaction to me in a hurtful way.
Did you have the same, Connie, same reactions as, or what, different?
When I allowed myself to be who I am, and that is that I am a lesbian, a woman loving another woman, and I allowed myself to be a sexual person with Ruth, that personally was a freeing statement for me, giving myself permission to say, hey, I am who I am. I personally did not go through the difficult times that other people have gone through with the reaction of family and friends. Some feedback that I've gotten from those same people in my life was that, Connie, there was a caring and a love, as many families would also make that claim. The fact remains that I did not apologize for myself. I did not make excuses. there was no need for, in quotes, discretion. I gave myself the wherewithal to just share verbally with other people that Ruthie was in my life through the invitations that might have been received by me, inviting me to a wedding or to a bar mitzvah. I would call that family person, that friend person, and say, "And Ruthie."
Mm. I hear you saying that it's not only, this seems to be a two-pronged thing that I hear, and that is that it's not only the way you approach the people you want to tell, but it's that you're approaching them at a time when you are sure of who you are. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes, yeah. It's related to self-esteem. I have accomplished a great deal in my life, personally, that I feel. And when my relationship with Connie came about, I almost felt I'd rather be dead than respond to that word lesbian. And then I found out it wasn't worth it. It took away from who I knew I was. And I had to feel good about me. And hiding who I was not making me feel good about me, and it spread to everybody else.
Well, there's a lot of discussion about your coming out, when you come out, how do you feel about yourself, when you do it, when you don't do it, etc. But there are a lot of women out there listening now, I hope, who have difficulty because of their jobs, children that would be taken from them, jobs that they could lose. Is this a real fear, or is it just something that's playing back in their unconscious and they're just reacting to? What is it exactly? Connie?
Yes. As from where I view myself, that fear as a motivation for being who you are is not going to allow you your feeling good. First of all, I see the assumed possibility of that I might have lost my children, and I have two children. I was married for 18 years. I don't know if it was in my consciousness that that could be a possibility. I would like to tell you that whether it was in my consciousness or not in my consciousness, that did not happen to me. My children are in my life, very lovingly and supportive of who I am. I am also saying to you that, yes, it is wonderful to have their support, yet the work that I did on myself also, I believe, is getting me and got me to a place that without their support, I could live with myself.
So whether or not they accepted you is not really the issue, you're saying.
No, for me it was not the issue. And one of the reasons I went into counseling and creating the proposal and the workshops is to really allow myself to share with other people that in the working on myself, I gave myself the awareness through the different vehicles that I used, that I am a very unique human being. What I'm finding out, so is Rose, and so is Ruth, and so is, and so is, and so is, right down the line. Because that's who we are. We are human beings with a very special quality, with the ability to love and be creative. And one of the means that I have used in order to clear away those things that don't allow me to believe this about myself has been co-counseling. And it is one of the reasons I've gotten involved in it as a teacher in order to appreciate.
I have to get you to tell the audience what co-counseling is, because a lot of people have never heard of that. They've heard of counseling, therapy, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Give us an idea of what co-counseling is.
Co-counseling is a theory in practice that we, you and I, as a people, as women, are loving, zestful, curious, creative, and have the ability, through an intelligence that we have, not the smarts, not the IQ intelligence, but the intelligence of being able to live in a here and now situation, in a fresh and new way, to be able to view life in a free, undistressed way. Now, I know when I first heard that definition, that theory, I said, where is that person? Mm-hmm. She does exist. She exists in all of us. What has happened are the hurts that as this growing person that I am, you are, receive the distress patterns of the adult world in their shtick, mm-hmm. in their addictions and compulsions and patterns, denied us the ability to, when we have been hurt as children, to really, in quotes, and the word is a co-counseling word, discharge these hurts through the means of crying and other means.
Okay, now, I understand you're explaining the dynamics of it, but put it in more concrete forms. Two people face each other in a room, mm-hmm. I suppose, and they do what? Okay. They counsel each other? What do they do exactly? They're both therapists? Are they both therapists?
No, they're not therapists. They're you and I. They're the whoever's. There's no age group. There's no color group. There's just people in a classroom situation, and that's the vehicle mm-hmm. of the learning. Okay? There's a facilitator, a teacher, who shares the methods and the means in order to get to that feeling space, who for many of us have really denied ourselves that we are feeling things. We're feeling angry, we're feeling grief, we're feeling embarrassment, shame, all the lists of things, not me, and yet it is us. Mm-hmm. And that me that has not really been dealt with and the unfinished business of those behaviors as children, we've brought them into an adult world. That adult world has not been clear for us.
Okay, but in the co-counseling situation, which I want to visualize and let the audience visualize, two people do sit opposite each other and they say what? Ruth, have you been in this situation too?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's a peer counseling type of a situation. You don't have to be a therapist. You don't need any knowledge of Freud or anybody else. Mm-hmm. You learn from this class the technique, and the technique is to sit opposite each other. You each may take an hour of time. And let's say, Rose, you and I were co-counseling.
Yeah.
We'd go to your home or to my home, and we'd alternate that. We'd sit. You would take an hour. You would be the client. I would be your counselor. Then I would be the client for an hour, and you would be my counselor. Mm-hmm. And as the counselor, you learn the technique that you will be supportive, non-judgmental, and totally lead me into being able to discharge this past information that's been so hurtful to me. As the client, you're also aware that you are there to do this discharging. And you can lead the counselor and say, no, I don't want you to do that. Or let's say you're not used to being touched or held when you cry. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready for that yet.
So it's actually giving off whatever's in your system, more or less.
There's a format. The format is to begin with something positive. What's new and good? There's always something new and good.
Well, I'm glad of that.
You need the balance.
Okay.
And then what's on top for you?
Okay.
We work on the top, which is in the here and now, and you get to the bottom, which is past experience.
Okay, I want to jump a second here. I don't know if I'm jumping or not, but you mentioned something about the importance of being. Being, just being, I am, or just what, how? Don't we all feel important? Is being ego, is that what you refer to?
As far as I view that sentence and how it was created, is that the importance of being myself and not play a role, not mask myself, not perform the way the world so prescribed or conditioned or programmed me to be in order to fit and be acceptable to somebody else. It is with work, creative work, loving work, coming from the fact that it starts with me, the I that I am, to be able to create and regain, reclaim the person that I know I can be, so that I can be in a world that is not so loving, not so reaching out for me and encouraging me to be who I am.
To put it in a lighter vein, to me, being meant going to a wedding and dancing with Connie. A slow dance when they said all happily married couples stand.
My goodness. What happened when you did that? I'm laughing because it took back the tears.
It took a process.
It was a process for me.
Yeah. I was the homophobic one in the relationship, and I thank Connie for allowing me to learn from her.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we knew that people knew the story. When I went up, hands sweaty, and we saw everybody pointing, those are the two women, you know their story. And then they wouldn't be pointing, but they'd be like, what's that stockbroker? I won't mention.
yes.
Okay.
Listening. Hovering about.
Then after a while, when we went, that's what I saw. That was my perception. And when I felt more comfortable with me, what would happen is oftentimes people would come over and say, gee, you're wonderful dancers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would also allow other women to get up and dance with each other whose husbands were just sitting there.
So it really has a lot to do with how you see yourself clearly, and not so much that you don't care so much what people think. It's not that. It's just that you cannot make it part of your life or part of your experience that would make you give you a negative charge.
Affects our bodies.
Yeah, you said something, I said something about your attitude about mental and spiritual. Can you get into how you do each of those, if you can, expand on each of those aspects or the approaches, mental, spiritual, you said, and physical?
Right.
Well, what are they? Are they courses you give? Or?
No.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea, we have a group on Friday night, and we ask the women, one of the rules is that they don't drink or take drugs 24 hours or even sugar.
Mm-hmm.
If they're sugar junkies, 24 hours before they start this group, because it affects the body. Hold is the temple, people, I'm doing quotes now for those, holds the information that we've received all our lives. It holds our minds, our and our souls. And if we don't feed it, and food is fed, is feeding, what it needs for nourishing, then the emotional and mental part of us is not going to work.
So it actually is like a body blocking, a physical blocking of other aspects of your personality?
Of allowing yourself to be.
Yes. It's another form of resisting the possibility that we might be able to be happy with ourselves.
Well, how is eating right, whatever right means? You see, there's another question here about what is right.
That's another two-hour program.
Okay, we'll do that another time.
Here to value or judge anybody's, in quotes, definition of right.
Okay.
What we're asking from ourselves, and when we, in fact, facilitate an every other Friday or a Saturday group or go speak out wherever we go, is that we really take stock of ourselves, take inventory of ourselves, and say, hey, why am I doing that? Am I doing it out of a choice place, or am I doing it out of, the word in Hebrew is dafka, out of a spiteful place, out of a hurtful place.
Revenge,
right?
Okay.
To really take a look at, are we really clear and clean that what we're doing to ourselves is truly from a here and now place and not possibly getting back at somebody who told me, I have to rest, I have to eat right, I have to finish my food, I have to this, I have to that. The messages that we have received down the line are still with us.
Yes, there were some discussions, there always is a discussion, especially about coming out,
young women or even older women who, you know, are married and they're coming out and stuff. And I always have a feeling about it lately that there are times when these people, these women, want to tell their parents, and the tone of voice they use and the body language that I see is not so much because they really feel good about themselves, but because they have this need, this desperate need to throw it out there somewhere onto someone else. It just doesn't seem to be the right reasons. I mean, could that be a possibility that some women want to come out and not for the right reasons at the moment?
If coming out to some women is using, I'm going to get back at you because I have information that's going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. And the information about me being a lesbian is going to be devastating to you. So here you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Then hey, what's going on? That's for you.
That's the impression I get from some of this, because at the same time that the women are saying, I have this need to come out, I really don't want to hide anymore, it sounds pretty good. But then the next thing they say is, I know it's going to devastate my mother, she's going to have a heart attack, I don't know what to do.
It's a process, and you can't lie to yourself about the process by saying, I'm not ready yet. If you're not ready yet, then you seek help. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons we do this workshop. There are ways of learning to feel good about yourself. There is language that you can use. We know when we're ready to do something. It's like going into the ocean for the first summer swim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you really want to do it or you're just showing off. And the important thing that I realized was that my coming out, I had to feel comfortable with it.
Well,
not
when you did
anybody
that,
anybody else.
But when you did your coming out, you were clear about that. You weren't doing it because you wanted to throw it in someone's face, or you had this thing. I'm lesbian is good, and why can't I say so?
Just with everybody, trivia. It yeah. was different. My yeah. coming out to people, it was different.
With each person you told, I see.
It was different.
Mm-hmm.
My colleagues that I work with in the high school, it was different. It wasn't that I said to myself, well, I don't like them, so they don't have to know about me. Or I like him, or I like her, and I want them to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that.
Also, there's another piece of it. They won't understand. That I heard that a lot, too. I can't tell him, her, it, whatever, because I know they won't understand.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
If we come from a space of expecting a return for the information we give out, whatever that information is, whether it is about the nutrition that we're involved in now, macrobiotics, whether it be I'm a lesbian, whether it be the T-shirts or whatever I'm involved in, if we're expecting a person to respond in a certain way, we're almost destined, in most cases, not all, to be disappointed because mm-hmm. we've already put conditions on the information. One of the things that we try to pass on to people, and again, you buy into it or you don't buy into it. You discard it, you put it into a compartment that maybe you'll pick it up a year from now. I mean, do it the way you need to do it, is that to start appreciating ourselves by virtue of looking at ourselves in the mirror and looking at ourselves physically and saying whether we have the bulge or whether we have gray hair or whether we wear the leather jacket or we wear the heels, to kind of believe in ourselves as a person. And I know, because of my own way of coming to this place of almost being 48 years old, I didn't always feel that way about myself. One of the issues that I brought into my counseling situations was the feeling of feeling inadequate. I always wanted to be a teacher, Rose. And I never became a teacher until 2 years ago mm-hmm. when I allowed myself the acknowledgement that, Connie, you are a teacher. And I did a great many hours of counseling, in co-counseling, and other medias as well. I went to other workshops. Ruthie and I did reading. We went to separate therapists and worked on our individual in fact stuff. We went into relationship counseling and we worked on stuff. I am proudly to say I am a teacher today.
Okay, we were talking about life before, and I'd like to take a break now, but when we get back, I want to go into the idea of what life is, because I remember you said something before we got on the air about sometimes the dynamic is not life but destruction, and I wanted to get into that, but right now we'll take a break, but I want to give the number before I go. It's 212-279-3400. We'll be right back.
Danced across the mountain, she thought no one could see. And every move she made across the land taught her to be free. She swept across the valley, her body so divine. And with the sweat of 17, she found another mountain to be climbed. She soared across the desert, the moon was all aglow. She stumbled once in the freezing sand, but no one would ever know. She swam across the river, her muscles straining strong, and she knew where she crossed the water, pulled her deeper into places she belonged. She came to another mountain and found that all could see, and every move was proudly made with love and dignity. For she is freedom's daughter and mother nature's child, as she raced across the finish line, her beauty drove her watchful. Singing songs that celebrated living, a feeling that she longed for. But slicing through her laughter came an anguished country's cries, as she saw a gun blow up the sun and stole away the future from her eyes. The child was standing near her and caught the runner's fire. She kissed her mouth with a passion and filled her with desire. And when her feet were on the ground, she faced the burning sky.
It's Rose Jordan again, back with the Lesbian Radio Show, and my guests Ruth Berman and Connie Kurtz, and we've been talking about many things, part of which was self-esteem and pride and lesbianism and all kinds of stuff. That was the break song that you heard was Holly Near's album Watch Out, and it was called She, talking about mountains and scaling the heights. Before we went, I want to give you the number again, it's 212-279-3400. Before we get all mixed up here with all the stuff we've been doing and talking about, I think Ruth had something to talk about from Woman News. You had an article or a statement?
Not an article.
What was it?
Just they made a study about coming out to your parents.
Yeah.
A sampling of bad reactions if you're, and I'm quoting.
Yes.
If you're gay, I'll blow my brains out. And the Woman News suggests, don't let this alarm you. After a long and detailed survey, Woman News has ascertained that 99% of these cases do not result in actual suicides.
Yeah, well,
another really cute one was,
I don't think they do either. But.
We should have kept you in that all-girl Catholic school. Smile dreamily and say, yeah, you should have.
I'm not sure about the Catholic part. I don't know. No, but you mentioned earlier on in the